All right, away we go. A special quickie edition, Mr. Relevant, Alex Stroph with you from the comforts of my own home today. Just have a couple things on my mind I want to get to, and then Will's going to join me. Will Summers, our resident Bears fan, is going to join me to talk about the NFC North champion, but also a potential matchup between the Packers and the Bears in a few minutes. But obviously, a lot has happened since the last time we did one of these shows in the midst of the holiday break. Hope everybody had a terrific holiday or is still enjoying their holiday, depending on your schedule. If you're like me or and Joshy, who took 2 weeks off to spend time with family and drink and eat way too much and spend time with family and all that good stuff. Hope you got to enjoy that. But a couple things on my mind related to the Packers, who have lost now back-to-back games. I did Green Bay game night on ESPN Wisconsin after the Bears loss, and that was a special kind of therapy 2 weeks ago. Luckily, we didn't hear a lot of the Malik Willis is better than Jordan Love chatter that we've heard now after the loss to the Ravens, where Malik Willis, by all means, was spectacular in relief for Jordan Love and has been a really, really fun story for the Green Bay Packers. But this is like the I'm going to go three things that are on my mind. This is the number one thing on my mind. Malik Willis is not a better option than Jordan Love, but boy, is he fun. And he's going to get the opportunity to compete somewhere for a starting job next year, just given what he's been able to do now in several games the last 2 years in this Matt LaFleur offense. But he looked so poised and so comfortable in this system. And he was awesome on Saturday night against Baltimore at Lambeau Field, despite the result. I thought he was terrific. But all this conversation about him being better than Jordan Love, or people, Packers fans would rather see him than Jordan Love, I truthfully find it ridiculous. Jordan Love is a franchise quarterback. Like, he is a guy that could eventually be a top five quarterback in the NFL, and he's shown flashes of being a top five quarterback in the NFL. I think these are the same people that don't realize Jordan Love was a top three MVP candidate 3 weeks ago prior to his injury in Chicago. His odds were third or fourth, depending on where you looked, to win the MVP. Now, it was a little bit of a long shot the whole time, given that this has been a two-horse race most of the season, and really has gone down to what I think is a one-horse race after Matt Stafford's performance last night for Drake May. But all that aside, Jordan Love has been awesome this year. The completion percentage has been up. The long ball, the confidence in utilizing some of his offensive weapons has gone up. The turnovers have gone down, despite there's still some moments where you go, what the hell was that with Jordan Love? I don't think Malik Willis has played long enough for you to have those moments, which I'm certain he will have if he does win a starting job. I'm super intrigued by the idea of him in Miami if the Dolphins move on from Tua Tagovailoa. The thing that I fear, though, since he's a free agent, is if he signs a contract with the Minnesota Vikings. Can you imagine Malik Willis in that offense? Like, J.J. McCarthy's been bad. It's as simple as that. He hasn't been a good quarterback for them here in what I guess I would still technically qualify as his rookie season. But if Malik Willis goes to the Minnesota Vikings, that's an offense that officially scares me. And then you look across the NFC North and it's already more crowded than it already is, right? Detroit in a down year is still a team that should concern you despite the Packers going 2-0 against them. The Bears obviously have arrived. That's point number two I want to make today. And then obviously Malik Willis to the Vikings, but I think elevate them, and they're an 8-win team and could be a 9-win team if they beat the Packers on Sunday, dependent on what they do there. Now, point two is the Bears have arrived. I said this after they beat the Packers in what was just epic meltdown fashion a couple of weeks ago, but even in a loss, and I'm going to sound like a Bears fan, which I don't like for a moment, but even in a loss on Sunday Night Football against San Francisco, that was an epic shootout. And what they did by hiring Ben Johnson was say, hey, we have to raise the floor of our offense. We have to get this to a level in which we can compete in shootouts and compete with anybody and do some fun things, whether that's from scheming or design or cutting Caleb Williams loose. And clearly we're at a point exiting week 17 and entering the final week of the regular season where that seems to be the case. They can hang with anybody offensively. Now, San Francisco's defense is not very good. That's evident. And neither is Chicago's. San Francisco's has a really good offense, but they ran and threw all over them. Brock Purdy was excellent in that Sunday night win for the Niners. All in all, though, the Bears are legit. Now, do I think they're a legit Super Bowl contender? No, I don't. I frankly think there's only a few. And again, like, the Rams are a team everybody's in love with. Monday night, they get well, they were getting smoked. They come back, but to Atlanta and lose to Atlanta, like, that's not a very good football team. They're led by Kirk Cousins, who's not a very good quarterback anymore. So I don't know who's a legitimate contender as we enter the final week of the regular season. I don't feel like the Packers are one. I don't think that's a surprise to anybody. Just this three-game skid has been ugly, even without Jordan Love, even without Micah Parsons. That defense is poor. I had this later, but let's get to this here. The defense, number three. I have legitimate concerns about the defense. And I don't know who has to wear the brunt of that blame. Is it injuries? I actually am going to go with the general manager, Brian Gutekunst, even with the injuries, right? You're without Micah Parsons. You're without Devontae Wyatt. Those are the big two on your defensive line. And Devontae Wyatt's debatably, if not debatably, your best run stopper. So seeing Derrick Henry do... I was going to call it Derrick Henry things, but I think that'd be disrespectful to the game he had on Saturday. It was that unbelievable. It was that dominant by Derrick Henry. So, but Brian Gutekunst, he deserves credit for a lot of things, right? He's been really good in free agency overall. Bad year for him this year. Nate Hobbs and Aaron Banks were not good signings. It's as simple as that. But overall, he's been pretty darn good in free agency. You can think of the Smith Bros back in 2019 and Adrian Amos you could throw in there as well. You could think of Devondre Campbell. Now, the re-signed contract for $50 million was certainly a miss, but he signed an all-pro on a $2 million deal. That's impressive. Obviously, Xavier McKinney, Josh Jacobs. Free agency has actually typically been pretty good for Goody. This a bad year. But draft classes have been poor. They have not drafted a Pro Bowler since 2019 when they drafted Rashawn Gary, who was a Pro Bowler last year. Now, a little bit of an asterisk on that as well. Tucker Kraft likely would have been he would have been a Pro Bowler had he not torn his ACL in November. But regardless, the drafting just hasn't been as good. Now, there's still some things to be hopeful for in terms of draft picks, right? I mentioned Tucker Kraft. Obviously, Jordan Love is a franchise quarterback. I think you can still have faith in some of these second-year guys, Edron Cooper, Evan Williams, Javon Bullard, who have all been pretty darn good this season. Edron Cooper, I think you probably expected more than he's given you this year, but overall, yeah, faith in him to step it up. But otherwise, there's no depth on this defense. And cornerback was an issue we outlined a ton in the offseason. Trading for a game wrecker like Micah Parsons is going to make everybody look better. And then when he goes down, that position is exposed, right? Keyshawn Nixon was bad in Chicago. Carrington Valentine doesn't know how to tackle, but he's a good corner. He can't tackle. And obviously that highlight of him getting shoved out of the way by Derrick Henry was not pretty, to put it one way. And then after that, you have no depth. Nate Hobbs has been really bad. I would imagine he's probably not back next year for this team. That's a position group that's going to need a total overhaul, like Goody treated safety 2 years ago, right? He signed Xavier McKinney. He drafts Ketan Oladapo, Evan Williams, Javon Bullard. And that's a position group that I think you feel pretty good about overall at the back end of that defense. That's what he's going to need to do with cornerback this offseason, is just completely overhaul it. You can hang on to Valentine and Nixon if you want. But Bo Melton ain't going to save the day. That's obvious. He's done better on offense than he has defense this season, despite being listed as a cornerback. So Goody deserves some blame for this defense's shortcomings. I don't know that Jeff Hafley does, at least yet. And there's only been two full games without Micah Parsons. One of them the defense was pretty good in against Chicago until they weren't. And then they just couldn't stop a runny nose against Baltimore. So, I don't know. I put a little bit of blame on Brian Gutekunst on that one, more so than Jeff Hafley for the play design. Thing four on my mind during this break is now the Packers' record against potential playoff teams. There's 16 of them right now, right? 14 total teams will make the playoffs, but there's a two-team race for the four seed in each conference. The AFC North winners, who the Packers have played both of, or the guys competing, teams competing, to win the AFC North, the Steelers and the Ravens split against them 1-1. And then they played the Carolina Panthers, who are still looking to win the NFC South with a win on Saturday over the Buccaneers. They lost to them. And then you have a split with the Bears. Your record against playoff teams or potential playoff teams is 2-4. That's not great. You lose to the Ravens. You lose to the Bears, obviously. You lose to the Broncos. I mean, against good teams, you haven't brought your A-game this season. And that was a concern a year ago. Against good teams, what did the Packers do? Well, they didn't win, right? They didn't beat teams that were the cream of the crop in their conference in 2024. They started the year off really hot, right? Two wins in a row against playoff teams from a year ago. The Lions in week one, the Commanders in week two. Turns out neither of those are playoff teams this year. Now, like I said a bit earlier, I still look at those Lions wins and go, hey, that's pretty impressive. But all in all, 2-4 against potential playoff teams this season. Not a great record. Thing five on my mind, how should they handle Sunday against the Vikings? Jordan Love should only play the first half. I don't think Saturday should be the final time we see Malik Willis play for the Packers. Get Jordan Love out there, knock off some rust after missing a game and a half with a concussion, but keep him healthy. Don't play him in the first half. The result doesn't matter. You're the 7th seed. You're locked in no matter what. I think you play the starters, all of the starters in the first half, and then only play some of them in the second half. Like, if Carrington Valentine, just to use a name we just talked about, for example, plays in the second half, I'm not batting an eye at that. But Jordan Love specifically, Josh Jacobs specifically, I don't want to see them play in the second half at Minnesota in the regular season finale. That's what I've landed on. Knock a little bit of the rust off for Love, let him play with his guys, and then pull him at halftime. Let Malik Willis finish out that game, because as we've said a lot, despite the fact that it hasn't happened against either Chicago or Baltimore, you are confident you can win ball games with Malik Willis. I think he can win you the ball game in Minnesota, even if they keep it close, like they did beating Detroit on Christmas Day. All right, those were the five things on my mind. Kind of just spewing out everything on my brain since we haven't had a show for a week and a half. Will's going to join me next, and I'm not excited for this conversation because he's going to take a victory lap, but also I want to get his thoughts on a few things related to the Packers and related to the Bears. So that is right now on Mr. Irrelevant, a quickie Tuesday edition of Mr. Irrelevant. All right, Will joins me now on the pod. We're doing this virtually. Nice name you got there, man. What's it say? Yeah.
Could you actually not refer to me by Will anymore? I go by Champ now.
Okay. Yeah. This is what I was expecting, to be real honest with you. Though you haven't taken too many victory laps the last, what's it been, 4 or 5 days?
Job's not finished. I mean, I'm not going to get... Okay. I mean, we're not done yet. Wait till the off season. If things don't pan out, I will just victory lap the North.
So I'm going to take the opportunity now to point out that I believe you called this, what'd you call this? All gravy or, there was no expectations.
It's different now.
What changed?
We're good. We're actually good. If you look at the Bears schedule, like when they went on that huge run of games, they really didn't play anyone well. And then you beat the Eagles on the road. You beat the Packers in a thrilling game at home. You play them close on the road. Then you go out against the 49ers. That's the first time I've ever seen the Bears in a shootout where they brought a gun. Like they 35-35, 40, whatever it was, going back and forth, Brock Purdy and Caleb Williams. That was awesome. I firmly believe that they're good now. I mean, the defense has a long ways to go. But when you rely on turnovers, they simply have gotten lucky enough this year with the turnovers where – they're going to make it happen one way or another. It's just a matter of time, like timing, really. Like, is the timing going to match up for them to get the turnovers when they need it?
All right, that game rocked. I'll give that to you.
It was game – wait, which one? Are you talking about the Niners or the
Niners,
Packers?
Yeah, Niners.
I think the Packers one was still game of the year.
I'd prefer if you don't talk like that.
I mean, just admit it. It was so improbable that would happen.
That's true. But Sunday night was another level. But I'd prefer not to talk about that game because it is looking like now things need to happen in week 18, but it's looking like we're going to have a little bit of a rematch here, wild card weekend. Packers at Bears, very likely. Now it depends on the Bears result. They need to beat the Lions. We assume the Eagles will beat the Commanders, but again, in the NFL this year, I'm not going to call anything a gimme, especially in week 18 when teams can play spoiler. But if the Bears take care of business on Sunday against the Lions, it will be Packers and Bears at Soldier Field, wild card weekend. Is that a good thing for the Bears or a bad thing for the Bears?
I've been tossing and turning at the idea. I hate the idea of potentially the season ending to not only the 7 seed, which is the last seed in the NFC, but to the Packers. Like that's a terrifying thought to me. But when you think about the flip side of it, if you're the 3 seed and you're playing either the 49ers or the Rams, it really doesn't get much easier. And then as the playoffs go on, if you somehow win that first round game, it only gets tougher and you lose that home field advantage if you were to play the 2 seed. But to be honest with you, I'm not happy about it. Like I'm not thinking like we're not playing the Buccaneers or the Saints or a team like any of those teams in the NFC South. Like, this is like the state of the NFC and kind of the NFL now, where you're just getting these really good teams that are fighting. Like the NFC West, I think those three teams are the top three teams in the NFC right now. And obviously only one of them is going to be a top four seed. So it's never going to be easy. I think the NFC is so wide open. But the one thing that does, like, I do find comfort in is that the Packers have suffered so many injuries, and that's obviously was very detrimental to their run defense. We saw it. Derrick Henry, 216 yards or whatever, a record at Lambeau Field, which has been around for how many years? How many years has Lambeau been a field? Over like 100?
A long time. I don't know
Like a
about a year
really
off the
long
top of my
time.
head.
Yeah. And like, I just hope, like, if Ben Johnson doesn't get too cute, that's really like that's going to be the emphasis of the game, especially for them on offense. Cause we saw it on the fourth down that the Bears had on their first drive where they tried to get cute, where Menunga and Swift on that drive averaging 4 yards a carry, and you just try to get cute and you fumble it at the goal line and ultimately turn it over on down. So I don't feel great about it. Like, I don't think either side does. Now if the Packers
Oh,
were
I
at
feel great.
if you were at full strength, you'd probably be head over heels
Oh
confident.
yeah, but if this team is full strength, I'm not positive that the seventh seed either.
No.
But then again, I mean, it's not like they always showed up when they were fully healthy either, right? I think I just looked it up. I got to double check this, but I think the record against teams that are still playoff eligible of the 16, the teams they played, 2-4.
Yeah,
So
they've
that
only
can't
beat
make you feel
one.
great.
I think they've only beat one team with double digit wins, and it's the Bears, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the other win they have against the playoff eligible team is Pittsburgh. And they might not even make the playoffs, right? Obviously, an AFC North Sunday Night Football game on Sunday to decide who goes, Ravens, who they lost to last week, or the Steelers, who they beat earlier in the year. So we'll see. But that's not a great record against good teams, which was kind of the story last year, seemingly the story again this year. I just ran through a couple things that I want to throw at you before we let you go. We're doing just a quick debrief of everything that's happened in the last 2 weeks. What do you make of Malik Willis?
Dude, he is a stud. Like, he is a legit. Here's the thing about Malik Willis is I could see him going to a team like the Vikings and being a star. Like, you put him in that system where Kevin O'Connell has developed all these quarterbacks who maybe weren't as good as he actually was making them out to be. Those Kirk Cousins, Sam Darnold, and at times JJ McCarthy. Like, JJ McCarthy hasn't had a great year, but at times he's beaten the Lions, the Bears. He's had those
He
moments.
said
So,
moments, right.
but Malik Willis is a stud. People do say the thing like, I know you don't want to hear it. Like, the is Malik Willis better than Jordan Love? Here's the thing. I think short term, like for a game or two, it's very intriguing how much more mobility Malik Willis has in running the ball. And like, dude, his read option, like it's really nerdy, but the way he like fakes the ball on the read option and like hangs onto it for so long, it's almost like a Rodgers-esque fake, like that he's handing the like doing those fake handoffs. But like long term, I don't think Malik Willis is a super sustainable well, comparing him to Jordan Love. Like, Jordan Love long term is your guy. Like,
For
you
sure.
can't, there's no arguing that. But Malik Willis, sensational. I think Christian Watson, like being fully healthy and playing really well, has been a big help to make Malik Willis look better too. But it's been really interesting because I think we talk about it a lot too, where Matt LaFleur, with his back against the wall, brings out kind of his best weapons. And kind of, like we saw him against the Ravens. I thought that was one of his better called games. And even in the first half when Malik Willis came in, I thought he was calling a really good game and then kind of shied away from what he was doing in the first half. But I think it's very interesting what he brings to the offense.
No, I agree that the Jordan Love versus Malik Willis narrative really bothers me because I think people are forgetting that Jordan Love was a legitimate MVP candidate 3 weeks ago. It's always bothered me. It will continue to bother me. There will still be people that say it's wrong, though I do believe Malik Willis will have the opportunity to compete for a starting job next year. The Minnesota thing would be a very smart move by them. I don't think they're ready to admit their wrongdoing yet with your boy Nine. I just
Yeah.
don't think they are. Miami is the other place that really intrigues me because if they keep McDaniel, which I think they will, I think he saved his job. That's a system where I think he could thrive with a lot of weapons around him, but we'll see what ultimately happens in the offseason. But I've lost hope of any chance of the Packers re-signing him.
Yeah, I mean, you've also like you've seen firsthand his development. Like, we went last, I think, what was it, week three or four or week two, when Jordan Love
Week
was
two.
out and Malik Willis played against the Titans. It was a lot of handoffs. a lot of checkdowns, a lot of getting him outside the pocket and getting it to those tight ends and those easy completions. Now it's like he's a different quarterback. So you've seen him develop under Matt LaFleur, and it's so interesting to watch him now. Like, it's this newfound confidence. Like, the difference, I mean, like I said, like, long-term, if you lined up Malik Willis and Jordan Love for 18 games, I think Jordan Love's better. But the fact that the Packers offense didn't really skip a beat when Malik Willis came in, like, it was kind of just like, usually when you get those plays, like even with Clayton Toon or with the Chiefs, Oladukin on a Christmas Day, like, I think his first six plays were all handoffs. Like, there wasn't that with Malik Willis. He was straight from the get-go, throwing the ball, running, getting open guys. Like, it was super impressive.
How awful was that Christmas Day slate?
Dude, I've been saying this around the office. The NBA Christmas was 10 times better.
Oh, definitely.
It delivered. Like, the Jokic Ant game went to overtime. The Knicks game, Tyler Kolek, shout out Marquette. Fantastic game in the early slate. But I mean, I was gambling on some of the games, and it was just like, I mean, I bet on like Chris Oladukin, like, over rushing yards, because I was like, I don't know what I'm rooting for here. Like, all the games are super boring. Like, even the Vikings upsetting the Lions was so boring, because it was like Brian Flores just blitzed Jared Goff to death, and Brosmer just mediocred his way through.
Horrible game, but good result for Packers fans. Nice present from the Vikings. All right, real quick before we get you out of here. I guess the Giannis thing I haven't talked about yet, and I just want to discuss that with somebody that's not my girlfriend, because I think she's sick of hearing me talk about it. That dunk in Chicago and then the aftermath, I love it. People seem to be hating on it, that it's almost a fraudulent attitude. But I love that this is just a, hey, let's get back this thing back on the tracks. Let's focus on ball. I didn't like the landing, but I liked everything else about it.
Yeah, I think it's different perspectives between people that have been following the Bucks this year and people that haven't. People that haven't followed the Bucks much are like, oh, wow, this guy on a minutes restriction, on his 25th minute, last minute that he'll play in the game, slams down a meaningless windmill dunk. And like you said, falls awkwardly. Super and Giannis awkward. Is a guy that preaches, like, you know, what, fair play. He's a good guy. He's an overall good guy. So it's not something you expect from him. But when you've been following this Bucks team all year, that's what they've lacked, is fire and, like, competitiveness. Right. Like, nobody wants to go to war out there. And I think he did that because he knew, like, the Bulls have a couple of veterans. Like, Vukovic was the guy that ultimately came at him. But I think he knew that the Bulls would get fired up by that. And, I mean, obviously very early to speak on it, but great showing last night, too, from the Bucks. I think it was kind of just like a wake-up call for them, like, hey, this means something. We can't sleepwalk our way through the rest of this season, or else we're going to be dead. Like, that's what he said after the game. Like, we're in 11th place in the East right now. Like, are we a championship team right now? No, like, it's time for people to wake up. So I think it goes both ways, because I've seen people poo-pooing him for that. And, you know, like, it's a bad, whatever, moral play or whatever. But I think, like, when you know Giannis, and you know how much of a competitor he is, and you know how much he wants to win, he was doing it simply for the betterment of the rest of the team.
Yeah, we'll see. The Bucks have won two in a row now with the win last night. They're back at Fiserv Forum. What day is it today? That's been the hardest part for me. It's Tuesday. So they're back at Fiserv Forum tomorrow, being Wednesday, New Year's Eve. So you're actually working. I'm technically off, but I wanted to get a pot out there. You know, pat on the back to me, hard worker. But, like, are you screwed up at all? The days of the week are not making sense to me.
Yes, because we work Saturday for the Packers game. So that in itself threw me off that it wasn't a Sunday. But for some reason, that felt like a Monday. So today feels like Thursday.
Okay, got it. Yeah, and I mean, every day has felt like Saturday, sort of, but also felt like a Tuesday. I don't know. And it actually is Tuesday, so I guess we've got
holiday brains. That's what they call it.
Big time. All right. If we don't talk to you later in the week, I'll talk to you Monday after week 18 as we get ready for, hopefully, I'm saying hopefully, I think you're also saying hopefully, a rematch at Soldier Field between the Packers and the Bears.
Tongue in cheek, hopefully.
Okay. He's scared. Got it. All right. Thanks, scared. Will.
Thank you.